You have your Bibles, you want to turn to the scripture. Mark chapter 2. Verse 13, we'll begin. I want to preach to you this morning about having supper with sinners. How many ever thought about mingling with the outside world? I know we enjoy coming to church, and I do. It's most of the time a place where we can feel safe and secure, and we see smiles, and we shake friendly hands, and nobody cussing and swearing, and no bad language, and all of that sort of thing, you know. Isn't it wonderful to come to church and go on to heaven? We look forward to that. Getting away from the world that we have to live in. But how many of you have to go out and face the everyday world? You don't work? Huh? I was having a little discussion yesterday with Caleb. Somebody had asked me, how's your week been? And I gave him a list of all the things I dealt with this week. And Caleb works at Subway, and he said, sounds like Subway. Jesus said, when he prayed to the Father, he said, he prayed for us. Prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for the believers who would accept Christ in years to come. And he prayed that the Lord would keep them from the evil that's in the world. And boy, we don't need to go far to find out where it's at, do we? It's right here in our own home. Jesus said they're going to be in the world. I'm not asking you, God, Father, to take them out of the world. They're going to be in the world, but he says, I'm praying that you'll keep them from the evil of the world. And sometimes today as the church, we have a hard time trying to define how to deal with the culture that is around us without compromising our understanding of what the Bible teaches. Oh, it's easy for us, and most of the people of the world see us for what we don't believe. They see us for what we stand against, rather than what we stand for and what we are about. And so we want to understand, how is it that we can mingle, be in the world, but not be a part of the world, and yet be what Jesus taught us, a light shining in the darkness. Salt that has savor, gives flavor and taste. You know, the only place you can be a light is in the middle of darkness. You turn light on in the daytime, usually it's bright enough, you don't need it. But in the dark is where the light needs to shine. So to be a shining light, Jesus is telling you, if you got to be out there where the darkness is. And in order to give flavor, you have to be put on what needs to have flavor. And how many know the world needs flavor? I mean, I've dealt with them the night after the party, and they've sat in front of the commode all night. And they've got a banging headache. That's not flavor. That's anything but. So, we need to be there in the midst of the world, not influenced by it, but influencing it. We need to discover what it means to be the body of Christ in a world that desperately needs healing, needs the healing power of Jesus in their hearts and in their lives. We see it in this passage of Scripture. This is how Jesus dealt with people of the world. This was His being light and His being savor. Listen, Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to Him. And as He walked along, He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple." Jesus said to him, so Levi got up and followed Him. Amen. Just like that. Amen. Later, Levi invited Jesus and His disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Would you receive that dinner invitation? There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw Him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked His disciples, "Why does He eat with such scum, tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, He told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts humbly before You because we recognize the word we have read is holy. It is Scripture. It is given by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And today we want to share this Scripture and the meaning of it with those under our voice. In order to do so, Holy Spirit, we need Your touch. We need Your divine anointing. We need our ears and our hearts open to hear the Word of God and to hear the message of Christ. We ask this humbly in Your precious name. Amen. We sang that old song, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," written by Fanny Crosby. And that's what I'm about to do, is tell you a little bit more of the story of Jesus. This passage of Scripture will teach us that the work of evangelism rarely happens when we so separate ourselves from the world that they can't see Jesus in us. Church is not meant to be a country club for believers, hello, but it is meant to be a hospital for the sick. I shared with you, I think it was last Sunday, I pastored a church 38 years ago, where they said to me when we brought in people, I was there 18 months before they fired me, and I was 48 new people came in that 18 months. I was out visiting the community, and they were coming in, and one of the holy elders got me by the side and said, "We don't want these kind of people in our church." And I said, "Oh, Lord, I'm in the wrong place. We're going to have trouble here." Amen? The church is a place for people to come and receive the help and they need for their lives and their souls. Not a place for us to come in and sit down. I like the old story that was told about, this hippie came to church one day. And all of these classy people were sitting in their respective pews, don't bother me pews. And he walked in, and when he came in, the preacher was up in the pulpit, and hippie, there wasn't any seats available for him to sit down any place. And if there was an empty one, the look that he got was, "Don't you dare sit down here." So he walked right on down the middle aisle to the front of the church and sat down on the floor. Is that God? And so everybody was looking, what's the preacher going to do? What's going to happen here? And one of the old deacons that just loved people and he loved God, and he was trying to do the Lord's work and be a light where he was in the church, saw all this looking back and forth and the frowns and everything. So he come walking down the aisle, and everybody kind of sighed. He's going to show him the door. And when he got down to where the hippie was sitting, he just sat down alongside of him. "We're ready, preacher. Preach the word." Amen. What a testimony. Yeah. Amen? Amen? What was Christ's mission? What was he here to do? First of all, we know that he was here to reach the lost. He didn't come to bring the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and get them all in and build a big mega church. The theme in the Bible is more evident than God trying. No theme in the Bible is more evident than the fact that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, to reach the lost. And God did often reach out to people. He did it through other people. Just before we read this passage of Scripture, if you would read in Mark 2, the Scripture just before this is the story of where four men had a paralyzed friend. And they desperately wanted to bring their friend to Jesus. I wonder how many of us desperately want to bring people to Christ. How many of us this week went out of our way to say to somebody, "I want to see you in church. I want you to find Jesus. I can't make it without knowing that you are redeemed, that you've had the blood of Christ applied to your life." These four guys had a friend that had a need. They knew Jesus had the answer. So what did they do? They picked him up on his bed and carried him to where Jesus was. Now that was passionate faith. They were so passionate in their belief. They didn't just go and visit him and say, "Well, you know, you need to go see Jesus." They didn't go and say, "Well, we'll see what we can do. Maybe we can get Jesus to come over and visit with you." No. What they did was put their faith in action. They picked up his bed and carried him out of his house and carried him to where Jesus was. I can't wait till I hear from some of you that say, you've said to your friend, if I want want you in church, and I'm going to come to your house next Sunday, and I'm going to pick you up and take you to church whether you want to go or not. They might decide to come. These four guys carried him to Jesus, and then this shows their forceful faith. What kind of faith they had. The crowd was so large, they couldn't get the man inside the house to Jesus. So these four friends were undeterred. They took him up on the roof, and they... Roof, whatever. Took him up on the roof, tore the roof off, and let him down in front of Jesus. Now, we've never been at a place in Emmanuel Chapel where you have to tear the roof off to get in. But boy, wouldn't it be nice to know that the place is so filled up that if people want to come, they better come early to get a seat. Hello? They were forceful about their faith. We want you to meet Jesus, and your need to be met. They tore the roof off. Their faith was rewarded. They let him down. Jesus healed the man. He took up his bed and walked home by himself. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of work that Jesus was about. Rewarded faith is for us. Caleb was telling me at Subway yesterday about one guy that's been asking questions about Christianity and about his faith and about Jesus. And I said, man, isn't that going to be a nice day when you see him come to Emmanuel Chapel and he comes down to the altar and gives his heart to Christ? Don't let up on him, Caleb. Pray hard. Keep him under wraps. Amen. The Lord will get him here. Be like these four guys. We're going to get you there to Jesus one way or the other. Almost Jesus' entire ministry was outside the synagogue and the temple. He was out among the people. He ministered to sinners where they were and not in the church building. You know, most of the time today we expect sinners to come to church, but they don't show up. So we have to go where they are. The real Jesus attracts people. He brings people to him. And we need to be having enough of Jesus in our lives that people want to know who it is that's living inside of us. The mission of Christ was not only to reach the lost, but he wanted to reach the single person. One single man. A lot of his ministry and mission was about touching one individual. Jesus was walking through this large crowd down by the seashore and lake shore, and comes upon an owner of one of the most lucrative tax franchises in the Middle East. Facts on tax collectors here. Here's a little bit of what this man was that Jesus encountered. Tax collectors were approved by Rome and given authority for their franchise from the Roman government. If you had a connection to somebody in high places, or if you could purchase this franchise, then it was yours. The Romans would give it, and they sold it to the Jewish people in the Jewish land, so that it was Jews who were the tax collectors and collecting taxes from their own people. These people had their franchise. The Romans didn't like them because they were Jews, and the Jews didn't like them because they were taking their money and their property from them. Levi owned one of the most lucrative franchises in the major city of Capernaum, with the right to be in the most populated area down by the lake shore. You know, that's where they build all the high rises. That's where they build the multi-million dollar places. That's where the rich people live. And so that's where Levi was with his franchise. They not only taxed what the Romans said they were supposed to be taxing, but they also had the right to tax about anything else they wanted and get away with it. Here's some of the things Levi could tax. Fish caught on the lake. Goods you were carrying with you. Slips on the lake to park your boat. And charge boat fees as taxes. Use of the shoreline. You want to go swimming here? You want to go fishing here? You got to pay me taxes to use this shoreline. Travel rights, routes through the area. So you can see that Luke was a busy man down here collecting his taxes. Levi's booth on the shoreline was the perfect spot since it often had large crowds with goods on hand. Owning a franchise was like owning a license for extortion. Roman soldiers many times would stand right there by the booth. So if anybody gave Levi any trouble, they would enforce the law and make them pay. A tax collector was allowed to search anyone except a Roman lady. He couldn't search a Roman lady. It's even said that in Egypt, some of the tax collectors would run down the old ladies and beat them in order to get the information where their relatives were. There were times when the tax collector was coming to a village, the whole village would pick up and move to get out of there and start a new village someplace else just to get rid of the tax collector. So he was not an individual that was like some people would pay him bribes to get off. They, along with shepherds, were the only classes of people that could not testify in court because their witness was unreliable. So Levi was not a nice fella. The only friends that tax collectors had were other tax collectors. Their own family disregarded them. They had no connections with their own people. These were the consequences of Levi being a tax collector, completely cut off from his fellow Jews, cut off from his family, since they were Jews, cut off from the temple. Thus forgiveness for his sins were impossible. Since that happened in the temple, he was cut off from God. Therefore, no possible avenue of salvation. He was cut off from the Romans who despised him as well. Now, how would you like a job like that? It was all about money for Levi. It was all about having material possession and gain. It was not about friendship. It was not about fellowship, except with the ones of his own kind. This meant he was the most hated man in Capernaum. Guess who Jesus called? Amen. The most hated man. The guy that no one liked. Jesus is going to call him. How many of us want that kind of fellow in Emmanuel Chapel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. Oh, it's growing. Come on. Jesus uttered two words to him. Follow me. Jesus was asking Levi to be his disciple. How many of us are asking people to be a disciple of Christ? Oh, you go to church? Come over and try ours out. Oh, you're a song leader. We could use you at Emmanuel Chapel to help Brother Jacob. Oh, you teach Sunday school. Wow, come on over. We'd like to have you. We'll give you a class. Nah. You've never been to church at all? You don't even know what church is about? You go to the tavern? You're in what kind of business? All of those people who are absolutely turned off about God and church and religion, that's the one that Jesus called. Are we? Those two words, however, they were powerful to Levi. Those two words said something to him. Jesus noticed him. And as a fellow Jew, Jesus was not rejecting him. Jesus was open to him. How many times we see somebody, you know, I've heard Brother Peel say about you guys that they were out on the street witnessing, and you see somebody with tattoos all over them, and they're about 6'4", and they weigh about 270, and arms as big as milk jugs, and you know, they've got chains on, and they've got earrings hanging out of their ears, and maybe one through their nose, and all of that kind. But I'm not going to ask him to go to church. That's exactly who Jesus was looking for.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus wanted him. A wicked, no good sinner was being asked to spend time with the very Son of God.
Amen.
Do we want wicked, no good sinners in our church? Absolutely. Bring them on. There was a time, one time I remember, when we had 50 people from another church walked into Emmanuel Chapel. Just walked out of their church and walked into Emmanuel Chapel. 50 at one time. Wow! Whoopee! 1 year later, 48 of them walked out. Irene Baker and her husband, Brother Baker, stayed with us.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, for a year, whoopee! But after the year, oh my. But I find those that come in who Jesus saves, He cleans them up, He redeems them, He washes them in His blood and sets them free. Hallelujah! He can use them.
Amen.
And they want to be used.
Amen.
Like Levi. Those words meant Levi had a possible future. Other than being hated, Jesus accepted him as he currently was. Come on, Levi, follow me. Levi was worth something to Christ, and God desired him. And I'm telling you, the Lord desires the drug addict. He desires the alcoholic. He wants the prostitute. He wants those who are in the world and of the world. He wants to redeem them and cleanse them and purify them and make a saint of God out of them.
Amen.
That's what we're about. It also meant that Levi was willing to walk away from his amazing wealth and power he had amassed to date just to be with Jesus. You'd be surprised how many drug addicts would like to be set free. How many alcoholics would like to be delivered. How many people of ill repute, thieves and robbers and you name it, they've done it. They would like to find peace and comfort and know that their sins are forgiven and that they're cleansed and purified, that they have a new life. And that's what Levi saw. And he was willing to get up from his lucrative business and walk away from it just so he can have Christ. D.L. Moody said, if you can really make a man believe you love him, You have won him. And if I could only make people really believe that God loves them, what a rush we would see for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Christ's mission not only included one man and reaching the lost, but it included righteous leverage. We see it here. Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to come to supper. And you know what Jesus said? Yeah, man, be there. The Pharisees, if they had been invited, said, no way we're eating with you guys. You two, you're below us. We don't want anything to do with you. We don't want to have anything to do with you, what you are. Some years ago, I received a call. There was a man in town that owned a tavern. And he was dying of cancer. And somebody said, would you come pray for him? So I went in. He lived above the tavern in Hagerstown. Climbed the steps, went back to his bedroom, led him to Jesus. He gave his heart to Christ. Gave his life to Jesus. Surrendered and became a born-again believer. He died. I had his funeral. And they had the reception in the bar. And the boy that was running business for Dad said, I guess you won't show up. I said, I'll be right there. Be right there. And walked in the bar. They were right ready to eat. And the boy looked over at me and said, pray. Amen. I prayed. I had fellowship with sinners. I had fellowship. Now, I didn't go back in there every Saturday night. I had a fellow come here some years ago. He was down on his luck. He was living in his car and he said, I need some money. And I said, well, I'll help you out. I gave him some money and about a half hour later I received a phone call. And somebody said, so-and-so is sitting in Wolf's Den. And I said, oh, is that right? Yeah. So I called the Wolf's Den. And I said, is so-and-so there? Yeah, he's sitting right here at the bar. I said, give him the phone. He handed him the phone. I said, this is Pastor Lay. I just gave you some money because you needed something to eat. Oh, he said, I'm in here evangelizing. I said, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He never came back for any more money. We've got to use wisdom, but Jesus said as soon as he received the invitation, my disciples and I will be over for supper. And when he arrived, guess who was there? All the other tax collectors, all these other scum, all these other sinners, all of these other deadbeats or people that were hated by their own people. These tax collectors, these extortioners were all gathered for supper and Jesus sat down in the middle of them. What was going on here? Levi wanted them to hear what he heard. Levi wanted his friends, the tax collectors, the other sinners, to meet Jesus who made a change in his life. Who gave him something brand. I'm telling you what. You bring the drug addict. Bring the alcoholic. Bring those who cuss and swear and smoke and chew and spit and sputter and whatever else they do. Bring them in to Jesus. And when you do, they'll want to bring others into Christ. Amen? Amen. He was using leverage. This is the way evangelism works today. You know, there was a institution of American church growth took a survey. They wanted to find out how people got to church, how they got involved. They asked 10,000 people about how they got involved in church. And this is what their answers were. Special needs, 2%. Walk-in, 3%. Pastor inviting them, 6%. Visitation, 1%. Sunday school, 5%. Revival, evangelistic crusade, 5%. Special programs, fun fests, and whatever else, 3%. Friends and relatives, 79%. You get to be a friend of a sinner. How many have a sinner as a friend? Got two sinners as a friend. Three sinners, four sinners, five sinners, seven, eight, nine, 10 sinners. You have a sinner as a friend. You have a group of people that you have contact with. They're sinners. They need Jesus. Your special relationship with them, inviting them, showing them what Christ is all about, living the life in front of them, being an example of what being Christ-like is all about, doesn't mean you're taking your Bible and thumping them over the head. You don't get right with God, you're going to hell tomorrow. If you don't go tomorrow, I'm going to send you the day after. No. It's just that friendship that you can make bonds with the old. That's what Jesus was doing. He was using leverage here. And when he did, guess what? Read the rest of that scripture there. Let me put that scripture back up there, Maddie. That text. Look what it has to say here. He said, other disreputable sinners, they were all gathered. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. That's where he got the church. That's where the church came from. And my friend, we're not going to have it by getting the goody two shoes people in. Those who, yeah, I am so good. Just look at me. I do good works. I put $100 bill in the offering. Come on in. Bring it in. We'll sanctify it and put it to good use. But we're looking for the one that Jesus looked for. You, we talked about Zacchaeus the other week. He beat people. Jesus got him in the body of Christ. Look at the other ones, the ignorant fishermen. I was preaching in Crisfield, Maryland one time. Down there where the fishermen, that's what they do. They fish to live. And I was preaching away and I almost said, you ignorant fishermen. But just before it came out, the Holy Ghost said, don't say that. So I said, you smart fishermen. See, church is a place for people to get healed. It's a place for people's lives to be changed. It's a place to bring in the needy. That's who Jesus was after. And we're not going to get them in here by sitting in our comfortable pews and just singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Well, that's good to do, and we want to do that, but I want to hear the voices of the sinners raising up and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I want them to come in and join with us. I want to hear the voices of the down and outers, the homeless, those who are in need. I want to see you bringing them in to the house of God. and getting them on their knees and seeing them receive the glory of Jesus. Amen. You never know how much of a blessing they may become. Brother Eric, would you mind standing up here for me here once? Don't he look good? Turn around there and let him see. He got a tie on and a suit. Woo! He got hair. I don't have any. He's looking good, isn't he? He's looking like preacher material. I was here the first day he walked in. Old ripped jeans on. One earring. In one, what ear was it in?
Left is right,
right
is wrong.
Left is right. All right. That was back in the era when it was right and one wrong. But to me, you walk in my church with an earring in your ear, how dare you? No. Had his Harley jacket, I think it was, a motorcycle jacket on, hair halfway down his back. Told his wife on his way here, if anybody says anything about the way I look, I'm out of there.
Experience in other churches.
Amen. Drug addict, alcoholic, wife had left him, suicidal. But that day, old Brother Shiflett, old farmer from down here, and he was dressed up in a suit. But he got up out of his seat. I saw him when he did it. And went over and he sat down beside Eric. And just started talking to him. Wasn't worried about the earring, the long hair, the torn jeans or what. So we preached the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord moved. And he got up out of his seat. And came right down here. And Jesus saved that old sinner, redeemed him, set him free, changed him, took the drugs away, took the alcohol away, took all the smoking and the bitterness and the hatred out of his life, just like that. Made a new man out of him. God has raised him up to preach the gospel. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus was doing. Now, he came here. Thank you, Liz, for leaving him.
I got corrected there. She did not leave me.
Oh.
She had been fasting and praying for me, and God said, get out of the way.
Oh, get out of the way.
That was a whole week that just changed everything, where God ended up with me in this church. And that's
thanks for getting out of the way. And letting God. You'd be surprised how many other Eric Peels there are all around us. You'd be surprised how many other persons are out there who are struggling. They're almost drowning. Levi was probably so tired of his life. Nobody loved him. Nobody cared for him. Nobody. He couldn't go home to see mom and dad. He couldn't go to see his brothers and sisters. Nobody. He couldn't even go to church, to the temple. He was all by himself. And he was just waiting for somebody to say, come! And when they did, he got up and followed Jesus. Would you stand with me? I thought this sermon sure would last until 12:15, but I'm... How many of you really want to have a heart of love for the sinner? The one that's down and out. One who right now doesn't want anything to do with God. Looks like it on the outside anyhow. So I'm asking you, be a Jesus. Just be a Jesus. Go out to where the sinner is with the same hunger and thirst to see the sinner come to Christ. Follow me. Invite them to follow Christ. I'm telling you what, if all of us will just be a Jesus and go out to the same crowd that Jesus went to, this church won't hold them all. We'll have to build a bigger one on the other end. Bow your head right now. Now let me ask you, if there's a Levi in here, if you happen to have walked in here today and you don't have much to do with church or Christian people and you really don't care about them, let me ask you, would you follow Jesus? I mean, He can give you peace. He can give you a different life. He can give you hope. He loves you. He cares about you. He will be with you through the hard times and the good times.
Yeah.
He'll stand beside you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll help you with your struggles. And if there's anything you need to have cleaned up in your life, He'll do it for you. He'll forgive you of all the past. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've said. Doesn't matter what kind of person you've been. You may have been a Levi. But I'm telling you what, Jesus wants to use you. And right now, just bow your head and say, Jesus, I want to follow You. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my lifestyle. Forgive me of what I've done. Forgive me of letting You out of my life. I haven't given You the time of day, Lord. And I want You in my life now. I want to follow You. I'll leave whatever I need to leave just so I can have You. And all of those who want to be a Jesus, you want to be able to do what He did. You want to reach out and you want to get a hold of the needy. You want to bring to church. You want to bring to the hospital the sick and the lame. Those who are desperately, spiritually filled with spiritual cancer. You want to bring them to a place where they can get healed and delivered and set free. You want to be a Jesus. Just bow your head and say to Jesus, I want to do what You did. Anoint me with the Holy Ghost. Anoint me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Touch me with Your divine wisdom. That, Lord, as I go out to the sinner and the downcast, I will simply say to them, follow Jesus, and they'll come with me to the house of God and find a new life in Christ. Lord, when I come to stand before You on Judgment Day, I want You to look down my page and see all of these people that were sinners, that were lost and undone. And here they are in heaven because I simply invited them to follow You. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, are you going to church?